Ever wish you could, like, experience the world through someone else's senses?
Mm-hmm.
Today, we're diving into something pretty fascinating, some aesthetic design.
Okay.
And we're going to be drawing from this research paper we have. It's on something called the Soma Express Kit.
Okay.
Basically, researchers are trying to figure out how to capture and share the sensory experiences of people with visual impairments.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge challenge, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about diversity of thought all the time, but this is like diversity perception.
What?
How we experience, you know, the so same world, but in totally different ways.
Exactly. And the researchers, they interviewed 17 people with visual impairments for this.
Okay.
And it was full of those aha moments. Like, did you know that some people use sound reverberation and even like the feel of the wind to create mental maps? Mm. Isn't that wild?
That's incredible. Yeah, yeah. It really highlights just how adaptable like the human brain is. Like, we might rely on sight for spatial awareness, but you know what I mean? This research shows that our other senses can be heightened.
Totally.
To compensate and like paint a totally, totally different picture of their environment.
It really makes you wonder what we're missing, right?
Totally.
Speaking of, what is the Soma Express Kit?
Okay.
I know the paper mentioned wearable tech and multi-sensory feedback. Like, give us the details.
So imagine a device that can actually record someone's sensory experience.
Right.
But then on top of that, translate it into something that others can feel.
Okay.
That's what this is. It uses a combination of sensors. So think heart rate, skin temperature, even like subtle muscle tension to capture how someone's reacting to what's around them.
So it's measuring these physiological changes that we might not even be aware of.
Yeah, precisely.
Wow.
And then, get this, all of that data is translated into feedback mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
Things like vibrations on the skin, changes in temperature, or even spatialized sound. So it's about creating an experience.
Oh, okay.
That's immersive.
Yeah.
You know, that goes beyond just visual or auditory information.
Okay. That makes sense. But how do you take like a change in heart rate and then know what somebody is experiencing like emotionally? How do you translate that?
Well, that's where it gets really, really interesting. So the researchers found that certain physiological changes were very commonly associated with like specific feelings or perceptions.
Okay.
For example, a sudden shift in temperature would say that's coupled with like an increased heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
Often that indicated a sense of anxiety or feeling crowded.
Interesting. Yeah. So it's almost like they're creating this dictionary of sensory experiences.
Yes.
And then translating those really subtle physiological cues into emotions and perceptions that we can then understand.
Exactly. And that's such a crucial point, because one of the big goals of this research is to foster empathy and understanding.
I see.
By us experiencing these sensations ourselves, even if it's simulated, we start to get a grasp on what it might feel like to navigate the world with these different sensory abilities.
Now, this research focused on visual impairment, but it seems like the implications of this could be so much broader.
Oh, absolutely.
So could this then be applied to other sensory differences?
Absolutely. And that's what is so exciting. Imagine experiencing the world through the senses of, I don't know, someone with autism.
Wow.
Synesthesia. Yeah. Sensory processing disorders.
Right.
The potential for building understanding is huge.
It's like we're on the, like, we're just entering this whole new era of sensory literacy.
Yeah.
Now, I want to jump back to something you said earlier.
Yeah.
About participants describing these different ways of mentally representing space.
Yes.
Can you tell me more about that?
This was big. So they identified two main approaches.
Okay.
The bird's eye view and the immersive view.
Okay. So walk me through those. What are those? How are they different?
Okay. So the bird's eye view is kind of like, you know, when you have a mental map.
Yeah.
Like you're looking down from above.
Okay.
So people using this, they tend to orient themselves around like landmarks and routes that they know.
So instead of relying on what they see, they're building these maps based on sounds, textures, even smells.
Exactly. And then you have the immersive view, which is more about like being present.
Okay.
In the moment. It's less about the overall layout and more about experiencing each step, every single change in temperature, air current, all of it.
So it's less about planning the route and more about feeling the way through the world.
Yes, exactly. And they found that some people even use both.
Really?
Yeah, like a hybrid approach. They would switch back and forth depending on how familiar they were with, like, the environment.
That makes sense. I mean, we probably all do that, even with sight. Like, I might have a mental map of my neighborhood.
Right.
But then, you know, if I'm in a new city, I'm relying a lot more on just kind of taking it all in.
Perfect analogy. And it just shows you how amazing the human brain is, how it adapts.
This whole idea of like these different mental representations, it really makes you think about design, right?
Right.
Like imagine if architects, city planners, they really understood this.
Totally. Yeah. Imagine designing a building, but not just like how it looks.
Right.
But how it feels to experience that space.
Yes.
We could create spaces that are not just accessible,
mm-hmm.
but like enjoyable. You know, for everyone, no matter like what your senses are doing.
Yeah. It's like moving beyond accessibility as this like checklist, you know,
right.
and more into this realm of universal design.
Exactly.
We're really thinking about all these different sensory needs.
And think about education.
Oh, yeah.
Like history students, right?
Yeah.
Imagine instead of just reading about a battlefield.
Right.
They could experience it.
Yeah.
Through the senses of like a soldier.
Through the Selma Express kit, they could feel it.
Exactly.
Flesh.
Or like science students.
Rice.
Exploring the rainforest. Feeling the humidity, the sounds.
That would totally change how we learn. Right. Make it so much more immersive. And we always talk about empathy and education.
Yes.
But this is a whole other level.
It's not just like understanding it in your head, but actually feeling what it's like to be in someone else's shoes.
Yeah.
Or in this case, like someone else's senses.
Yeah. And even like entertainment. I mean, think about it.
Totally.
Gaming movies.
Yeah.
Even music could be revolutionized.
Yes.
Imagine experiencing a concert, but you're experiencing it as the musician. So you're feeling those vibrations, that energy.
It's about pushing the boundaries, I think.
Yeah.
Of what we think shared experiences can even be.
Totally. But of course, there are challenges.
Right.
So what are some of the ethical things that we have to keep in mind when we talk about this?
Right, because you're talking about very personal experiences.
Very internal.
Yeah, and, you know, with any technology, anytime you're collecting that kind of data, privacy is, you know, at the top of the list.
Yeah.
The researchers know that, and they're looking into ways to make sure people have control over, you know, how their data is used.
So transparency is key.
100%.
Yeah.
And consent.
Yeah.
And not just, you know, in the lab.
Right.
As this stuff goes out into the world.
Right.
We need to be talking about this stuff. We need guidelines.
We do. Now, this has been a very what if kind of conversation.
Yeah.
But for our listeners out there, like, what are the next steps here? How do we actually make this happen?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. So the research is ongoing. They're adding new sensors. They're working on the feedback mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even refining the algorithms.
So it sounds like a very collaborative kind of field.
It really is. I mean, they're working with designers, engineers, even artists.
Wow.
To make sure that this technology is, you know, it's not just functional.
Right.
But it's also like aesthetically pleasing.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Easy to use. That matters.
It's not just the tech. It's how it fits into our lives.
Right.
What about our listeners? If they're, you know, they're geeking out on this stuff as much as we are right now, what can they do? How can they learn more? Get involved?
Yes. I mean, public interest is so important. I always tell people, read everything you can. Follow what the labs, the companies, all the people working in this space are doing.
Yeah. Are there any, like, specific organizations, places you recommend folks go to? There are some really cool organizations out there, like, really pushing the boundaries of this whole world of accessibility and sensory technology.
Yeah.
The Inclusive Design Research Center.
Mm-hmm.
The Open Sensory Lab.
Yeah. Those are great.
Those are good places to start, right?
Yeah. They've got websites, social media, all that. Share a lot of really good stuff. Their latest work, all of it.
And honestly, even just talking about it.
Oh, for sure.
Like just having these conversations, that's huge, right?
Huge. It normalizes it.
The more we talk about sensory diversity, this idea of using technology to kind of bridge these gaps, it becomes more normal. More people get involved.
Yeah. And it really becomes less about like fixing a difference.
Right.
It's more about celebrating it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, understanding that we all experience the world in a unique way.
It's like you said earlier, it's about that diversity of perception.
Exactly.
Now, this whole thing has got me thinking.
Okay.
We're talking about capturing sensory experiences.
Right.
What about emotions? Could we ever actually build something that would allow us to feel what somebody else is feeling?
Whoa. Okay. Now you're talking.
Right.
That's like next level.
Yeah. I mean, imagine you could experience the world, not just through someone's senses, but their emotions too. Wow.
That could be amazing. could be terrifying.
It could be both. I mean, think about it. Yeah. We might feel closer, more connected, like way more than words could ever do. But then
how do you even, like...
Where's the line?
Begin to even think about consent. It's tricky.
Right. Emotions are messy.
The messiest.
Oh, complicated.
Yeah. As we get closer to being able to share these things, ethics, man, that's the big one.
It's like opening Pandora's box, you know?
Totally.
But with anything, it all comes down to how we use it. Are we going to use this to connect with each other in a meaningful way? Or are we going to exploit it?
That's the question, isn't it? And honestly, it's not about the technology. It's about us.
Yeah.
It's about our humanity.
Yeah. And like you said, we've got to talk about it.
We do.
We need everybody at the table for this.
Yeah. This isn't just for the engineers to figure out. We need the philosophers, the ethicists, everybody.
Because if we do this, we're talking about changing everything.
Everything. How we see the world, how we understand each other.
It's huge. Well, this has been quite the deep dive.
It really has.
Definitely had all those aha moments. I think we dove into some aesthetic design. We talked about how technology could help us bridge those sensory differences, and even, you know, dipped our toes into those emotional experiences.
Yeah, this has been awesome. I'm so glad we got to unpack all this.
And listeners, you know, we hope this got you thinking. Hopefully you've got more questions now than you started with.
Always a good thing.
Because that's what makes all this so exciting. We're just starting to figure this stuff out. There's so much more to learn, so much more to explore, but it's those questions that get us there. So until next time, keep those senses sharp and keep asking those questions.